in this morning. Solomon died, handed over the throne to his son Rehoboam. We pick up his life this morning. He's going to read a portion in chapter 10, 2 Chronicles. Verse 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So it happened, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard that he was in Egypt, where he had fled from the presence of King Solomon, that Jeroboam returned from Egypt. Then they sent for him and called him. And Jeroboam and Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you." So he said to them, "Come back to me after 3 days." And the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived, saying, "How do you advise me to answer these people?" And they spoke to him, saying, "If you are kind to these people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever." But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him who stood before him. And he said to them, "What advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Lighten the yoke which your father put on us'?" Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, "Thus you shall speak to the people who have spoken to you, saying, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us.' Thus you shall say to them, 'My little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges.'" So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, and as the king had directed, saying, "Come back to me the third day." Then the king answered them roughly. King Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders, and he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges." So the king did not listen to the people, for the turn of events was from God, that the Lord might fulfill his word which he had spoken by the hand of Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son Nebat. Now when all Israel saw the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, "What share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David." So all Israel departed to their tents, but Rehoboam reigned over the children of Israel who dwelt in the cities of Judah. Then King Rehoboam sent Hadoram, who was in charge of revenue, but the children of Israel stoned him with stones, and he died. Therefore King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. Let's pray. Lord, as we continue through your word, Lord, we desire insight and revelation and light and food for our spirit, our soul. Lord, we look to you to be strengthened and uplifted. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Solomon passes away. Rehoboam, his son, takes his place. He was a bad king. He made some bad choices. In chapter 10, 11, and 12, it covers Rehoboam. Chapter 13 covers Abijah. He was also mostly a bad king. Just to look, at a few snippets here. In chapter 11, he was a bad king. He made bad choices, Rehoboam. But in chapter 11, he had 3 good years, the Bible tells us. If you look in verse 4, chapter 11, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up or fight against your brethren. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from me. Therefore, they obeyed the words of the Lord and turned back from attacking Jeroboam. Jeroboam mounted a military, and Rehoboam was going to attack him. The Lord, through a prophet, spoke to Rehoboam, and we note that he obeyed the word of the Lord. Marking his good years, these 3 years, in verse 11, the Bible tells us that he strengthened his own borders. It lists a bunch of cities there. He fortified the cities. He placed men in the cities. So, you know, the Lord said, you can't go on the offense against Jeroboam, so he concentrated on his defenses. He strengthened cities, he built walls and, you know, beefed up the military, stocked the cities with supplies. The Bible tells us in verse 16, chapter 11, really where his true strength came from. And after the Levites left those from all the tribes of Israel, such as set their heart to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God of their fathers. Jeroboam and Israel in the northern kingdom, now that the kingdom's divided because of Rehoboam's bad choices, Jeroboam, you know, really devised his own religion. The Bible tells us in Kings he set up his own idolatry worship system. So the priests and the Levites, the ones that truly wanted to seek the Lord, fled from the common lands throughout Israel and they went to Jerusalem. The Bible says that they took refuge in Jerusalem. Look in verse 17, chapter 11. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong for 3 years because they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. Though he fortified the cities, worked on his defenses, really, his true strength came in these 3 years from those who sought the Lord. They sought refuge in Jerusalem. They sought to sacrifice and worship God in truth. And because they walked in the ways of David, the Bible tells us, it strengthened Rehoboam's kingdom. It strengthened him. A good 3 years during this period, but where his true strength came from was from those who walked with the Lord and sought the Lord. In verse 23, chapter 11, it shows that he had, during these 3 years, some good sound wisdom, good judgment, dispersing some of his family members into these fortified cities, just making good decisions during a 3 year period. Chapter 12, his sequence of events took a turn for the worse. Though he concentrated on fortifying his cities, building a hedge around his house, as it were, the Bible says that unless the Lord build the house, he labors in vain. The Bible says, once he was established, verse 1, chapter 12, he forsook the Lord. He turned from the Lord. He thought, hey, man, I got cities now. I got fortified. I got supplies. I'm backed up. Got income. I'm set. He turned from the Lord, the Bible says, and as a result of him forsaking the Lord, in verse 5, a prophet was sent to the king, Rehoboam, with an explanation. The Shemaiah, the prophet, in verse 5, chapter 12, came to Rehoboam and the leader of Judah, who were gathered together in Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said to them, thus says the Lord, you have forsaken me. And therefore I also have left you in the hand of Shishak. Because he forsook the Lord, the Bible says that the king of Egypt, Shishak, came in, cleaned house, defeated. Really defeated his fortified cities. The Bible says that Shishak, king of Egypt, ripped him off, took his money, went into the treasury of the temple, took all the golden vessels, all the golden shields that Solomon had made, lost his money. As a result of forsaking the Lord, lost his treasure, thought he was safe and secure, but he met defeat. His hedge failed. The Bible says in verse 4, chapter 12, exposing is he took the fortified cities of Judah and came to Jerusalem, Shishak, overtaking him. He met failure. He met defeat. Lost his money. The hedge failed. Weakness exposed because of wrong choices. The Bible tells us in chapter 12, at the end of verse 7, he was forced to learn a hard lesson because of forsaking the Lord. The Bible says that he humbled himself. He cried out to the Lord. He confessed, "Oh, the Lord is righteous," he cried out. We are wrongous, is what he was saying, basically, humbling himself. But the Lord said, you know, he's going to have to learn a lesson. I'm going to give him partial deliverance, not complete deliverance. Then that he may distinguish, you know, the service of serving me or distinguishing from serving me or serving the world or serving another kingdom or nation. Learning the hard way. Choosing, forsaking the Lord God, teaching him a hard lesson. His life, really, you know, a disappointment. He's a bad king. He, through bad choices, brought division to the nation Israel. After the entire reign of David, Solomon, uniting the nation Israel into one kingdom, Rehoboam, through some bad decisions, brought division, the Bible tells us. You see, you know, if we could only go back, you know, the bad decisions that we make. You know, the first message of the year were, you know, coined it as going straight in 2008. Said, you know, we're going to stay sober or an alert, spiritually sober. Oh, to stay right with him, on guard, in tune with him. We're going to come out of the sinful lifestyle, go straight in 2008. And we're going to maintain right direction. Not go to the right or the left, but maintain straight on for Jesus, 2008. But he drifted. We see early on in his reign, he made a vital mistake that really departed from staying straight on, and he started drifting. And you see the result, the consequence of his bad decision, division, rebellion, rejection. From his bad decision, we're going to drop back and look back, you know, where he made that bad decision early on in his reign, back in the portion we read in chapter 10. We see he made a bad choice. We read that he was counseled by the older elders there that lived and surrounded Solomon, really absorbed his wisdom. And they counseled Rehoboam to treat the people kindly. Jeroboam, hearing that Solomon had passed, was in Egypt, for he was in rebellion against Solomon. But he came back, and he represented Israel, the southern kingdom, or the northern kingdom. Israel, and he brought before Rehoboam, you know, as a representative, most the 10 tribes of Israel. As he came before him, you know, he just came with some grievances. He says, you know, your dad put on some heavy yokes on us. You know, listen to us. You know, lighten up the load for us, and we will serve you. Rehoboam, asked for 3 days to ponder it. He made a bad choice. He was counseled to treat Jeroboam in verse 7, chapter 10. And they spoke to him saying, if you are kind to these people, if you are kind, good, and please them and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever. That word kind in the Hebrew, it means it's tob. That's how you pronounce it, tob. But it means to be good, kindly. It means to be have the benefit and welfare of another, you know, in mind. Prosperous, happy, agreeable. Treat them, you know, right. Be kind to them. this same verse paralleled in 1 Kings is worded a little different. It says, and they spoke to him, saying, if you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. Be kind to them. Exhibit some tov, some kindness, goodness. Share some tov. Serve them some tov. Listen to them. The elders counseled Rehoboam in verse 4, chapter 10. Your father made your yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke, which he put on us, and we will serve you. Listen to them. Listen to what they're saying. You know, really, make some concessions. You got some grievances? Just listen and comply. Be kind. Respond to them. Have their well-being in mind. The Bible tells us that he rejected the counsel of the elders. Instead, he listened to the counsel of the young counselors, and he made a wrong choice in verse 13. As the old counselors told him to be kind, to speak good words, verse 13 says, the king answered them roughly. Be tough on them. The young counselors told him, hey, man, put your foot down. Don't let them take advantage of you. Sound like an ongoing conversation we have with ourselves? Don't be a doormat. Stick up for yourself. You got to run a tight ship. Show them who's boss. So he came out and he answered Jeroboam roughly. No. My dad, my little finger is going to be thicker than my dad's waist. You think you had it bad under my dad's reign? You ain't seen nothing. Came out answering him roughly, making a fatal mistake. He didn't listen to them as the old counselors counseled him. In verse 15, chapter 10, so the king did not listen to the people. He wasn't in tune. He didn't care. He wasn't tuned in or listening. He wasn't exhibiting kind words. He didn't have any tov. He wasn't sharing or serving any tov. He answered them roughly. Tough. Faced with a choice, he made the wrong choice. You know, God's way or his own way. What was at stake? You know, what did he stand to lose or gain? In verse 16, chapter 10. Now, when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, what share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house. He lost the unity in the kingdom. You know, you go back, what David put together, all that David put together, he reversed by his own rough attitude. By not taking the counsel of the elders, and by not speaking kindly to them, by not putting them before him, by not serving them with kindness, answering them roughly, he overturned all that David had put together and accomplished. You go back when David was inaugurated, all of Israel came before him. The Bible says that he was anointed. And the Bible says that they came and said, we are your people. We're your servant. There was a unity that he overturned, that he lost. What's at stake? The division of the nation. Just because he didn't listen, just because he chose his own way, the consequences were grave. It split the nation. It split a family. You can tear apart your kingdom if we don't do it God's way. He was instructed and counseled by the old elders. Man, just speak kindly to them. Be good. You know, have some tov. Share some tov. But division resulted. a reversal of what David had accomplished. Unity, loss, the consequences that came as a result of his selfishness was division, rejection. What do we have to do with you, David said. Jeroboam says, what do we have to do with you or to David's inheritance? We are an associate. We're not affiliated. We're cutting off. And verse 19, it says that Israel had been in rebellion. They rebelled. Rejection, rebellion, division. All was what was at stake. What he lost was a lot. And for us, you know, faced with a choice, you know, our way or God's way. The Bible tells us, as we're counseled by the elders, and our big brother, Paul, he tells us, or Peter, they tell us, follow Christ's example. Do it his way. He's calling us to have some tov, to share some kindness, to put aside rough response, answer. Speak to them kindly, good words. The Bible tells us, Jason covered in John 13, you know, Jesus, you know, is a servant greater than his master? Do as I do, he said. We're to follow his example. The Bible tells us the night of his arrest, he's about ready to get arrested and nailed to the cross the following day. Him fully aware of what's going on. The Bible says he takes his robe and he straps up the girds of his loins. Then he stooped down, washed their feet. You know, do as I do. Humble yourself. Be kind. You know, what does it cost us to be kind? Self-denial. Follow his example. Our elders counsel us to do what's right. The Bible tells us, Paul said, he set the example, he condescended. You know, he who in the form of God did not consider it equal to be, or a thing to be grasped to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of men. He came to serve. You know, have some tov, share some tov. The Bible tells us, Ephesians, Paul, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. You know, faced with a choice to do it our way or God's way, the Bible instructs us and counsels us, be kind, tender-hearted, to share, not roughly, to respond roughly. Oh, we're inclined to, you know, not let no one take advantage of me, put up my own defenses. But we see, you know, when he built his own defenses, what they really were and where our true strength comes from. It comes from him and walking with him. Here, we're faced with a choice to do it God's way or we can do it our way. And really, what does it cost us to follow him? We're called, the scripture tells us, to make the right choice. You know, our tongue is to be brought in submission, the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us in James, you know, though the tongue is a little member, you know, with it you can bless or with it you can curse. It's destructive. It's like a flame. It can, you know, so small a member, and yet it can start a destructive fire. You know, we're called to bring it in submission. That's why Jesus said, make the tree good or make it bad. And, you know, we're called to bring our members in submission. Paul says that in Romans. You know, present yourselves as being alive from the dead. Present yourselves before God and your members as instruments of righteousness. We're called, bought, and paid for by Christ in his blood now to present ourselves and the members that we live in for his purpose. Submitting our tongue before him, counseled with kind words, tov, some kindness, some goodness. You know, the Bible tells us love is kind. The Bible tells us in Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. That's love. We're called to be kind, to have some hope. And what's at stake? You know, we're faced with a choice to do it our way or God's way. We're called by Him to do it His way, to follow His example, to make the right choice, to stay on track. As Rehoboam made the wrong choice, and you see the devastating consequences, and they'll follow us. We make wrong choices. But what's at stake for us? You know, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, instructs us with the golden rule. He said, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. It's reciprocal. How, what's at stake is really how people treat us, is how we treat them. You know, whether or not we're kind to them is how they're going to treat us. You know, I personally like pleasant people. You know, we work for different customers. We kind of, you know, some people in Grosse Pointe, and some of them are snobby. Some of them are nice. But you get, you know, a pleasant person, man, it just makes all the difference. The whole atmosphere in the house is just so pleasant. And how you really want to go out, you know, the extra mile. Man, you know, I really appreciate servicing you, working for you, because you're so pleasant. It's sweet, you know, sweet disposition, sweet atmosphere. If we want, you know, a sweet atmosphere, we're to be kind to others. There's a, you know, what's at stake? What's the consequences of us, you know, not doing it God's way? There's a really good illustration in the scripture. If you turn back to 2 Kings chapter 5, you remember Naaman the leper, heard that Elijah could heal him. He packs up a bunch of loot, retinue, to go see Elijah to receive his healing, really to buy his healing. But in verse 10 of chapter 5 in 2 Kings, the Bible tells us, and Elijah sent a messenger to him, to Naaman, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious, and he went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over this place and heal the leprosy. Naaman had this idea in his mind, fixing, he's going to come out. He's going to, you know, wave his hand. This is how he's going to do the healing. This isn't what I anticipated. This isn't what I pictured. This isn't what I expected. Go wash myself in the dirty Jordan River. Then he complains. He says, man, I got rivers back home. Much better, cleaner, wider, bigger, that I could wash in. He starts to complain. He's furious. In verse 12, are not the Abna and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters in Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. But notice in verse 13, and his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would not you have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. He was clean. Notice the servants. What was at stake? How they sharing with kind words. So really had giving some hope. Kindness. Hey, Naaman, what do you have to lose? Why don't you just do what the prophet says? You know, not taking the influence and the negativity and the pride stance of Naaman, but just kind of breaking through and saying, you know, why don't you just go for it, man? What's at stake is really Naaman becoming a picture of a soul that becomes clean, that becomes saved. Leprosy, a type of sin. Someone that's forgiven and cleansed from sin. What's at stake is souls are at stake. By whether or not, you know, we do it God's way or our own way. By whether or not or how we respond. Whether we have tobe, share tobe, serve tobe, or we do it our own way. Let's stand. Let's pray. You know, he asked, you want some tobe this morning? He said, ask. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And it's granted by request. If we ask, we truly see our need for him, for his love, for his kindness, you know, for his peace. We're to turn to him and ask for fruit, for his Spirit. So let's do it. Lord, we turn to you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the examples in Scripture of bad examples that we're to take heed of. Lord, that we might stay straight, do the right thing, make the right choice by observing those who made the wrong choice, doing the wrong thing. Lord, we look to you. We ask, Lord, that you would cleanse us from our own self-centered, selfish, negative, self-directed stance. And Lord, how we seek to protect ourselves, harshly responding. Lord, give us tobe. Give us kindness and love and peace. Lord, cause us to see the bigger picture, what's at stake. Let us deny ourselves, lay down our pride, and exhibit kind words, good words. Lord, let us be used by you according to your plan. Give us fruit, Lord, to share that others may eat for your purpose, that you be honored, that you be exalted, that you be seen and followed, that others would be washed and cleaned. Lord, we look to you. We ask, as Jesus, you said, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? We ask that you fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that we might follow and be tender-hearted, kind, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave us. We look to you, Lord. We ask that you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you got tobe? I need tobe, man. I see it. I was listening to Focus on the Family this week. I don't know if you heard it, but Lehman Strauss has been featured. You know, some of his seminars or whatever. He was at conferences, and he was talking about how important it is to encourage your children. You know, they come home. They got their report cards. All A's, one B. What's up with the B? So we focus on the negative. Or he was giving an example that I can relate to. His wife, you know, makes a big dinner, and there's carrots on the side. What's up with the carrots? And then he says, the next thing you know, I might be wearing the carrots. But the negative is how important it is to focus in on the positive and have some tobe. You know, share some tobe. Serve some tobe for the bigger picture, for his purpose. Lord, help us. May the Lord be with you and keep his hand upon you and transform you from the inside out, filling you with his Spirit, giving us a kindness, submission, authority over our tongue to represent him, to praise him, to honor him. Presenting ourselves to him and our members as instruments of righteousness. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.